Okay, let's get started then. Let me first wish you a good morning and thank you for taking the time to attend today's Cloud for Developers webinar. My name is David Balzik. I'm a managing partner and consultant at Consulta. And today, after our previous session on customer profiling, or even better, how to identify the first clients, I'm going to speak about lead gen, so basically about how to generate the interest for your service. Hopefully providing you with some ideas and good practices that can be also applied in your markets and for your cloud business development efforts. Now, in case there are any questions or comments, please post them to the chat window. We are monitoring the board and will respond to the questions at the end of each section. Now, before I jump into the content, I just want to provide you with a few insights about who we are and what we are doing, since I kind of noticed that we also have some people on today's webinar that were not joining the previous sessions. So we would call ourselves a cloud business enablement consultancy, and we are a company that works primarily with IT partners. So we don't do a lot of work for the end clients. Nevertheless, in the last 5.5 years, we managed to address more than 1,000 partners from 38 different countries, and we managed to do that through more than 200 on-site engagements. Of course, we are also delivering webinars. This is also, I would say we are kind of sharing the knowledge in a format as what we are having today. And the last 6 months, I believe that delivered much more than 140. Also, a few words about myself. Once again, my name is David Balzik. I'm a managing partner, but also a senior consultant in a company. I actually have a technical background. However, I never worked as a technician, system engineer, developer. For the last 18 years, I'm more or less in sales, marketing, or business development. And this is also the level of the discussion we are going to have during today's webinar. I also have a pretty diverse working experience. I spent several years in the entertainment industry. I also spent several years in energy market, a few years with Microsoft, and for the last 5.5, I'm with Consulta. Now, I also have some free time. I'm usually spending that with my family, friends, sport, and to some extent also with cloud computing. Now, enough about our company and myself. I want to kind of switch to Cloud for Developers program. Just want to give you a quick outline of that, what this program is about. So first of all the sessions are recorded. So in case you missed any of the sessions that were already delivered, you can actually check the recording by just clicking on the registration link that was provided to you by the event organizers. And we already went through four topics. So today we have our fifth webinar. We started with the big picture, then we kind of narrowed it down to kind of better understand the Azure story. Then we also provided some credibility when it comes to Azure. We provided you with some good practice examples of partners that are already successful or ISVs that are already successful with this business, the business they built on top of Azure. And then we had last week, or actually the beginning of this week, we had our first I would say core topic of a new business development or core topic of the business development overall. And we were speaking a lot about the target customers, so how to identify the first clients, how to identify the prospects for your service, especially keeping in mind, you know, that cloud is not a mainstream yet. So we need to kind of be a bit picky when we are reaching out to the first clients. And today, we want to kind of shift the gears and let's kind of presume that now we better understand who are our prospects or who are the prospects for cloud services today. And of course, the second step in our business development, it's about generating the interest for our service. So this is what we're going to discuss today. And then the last webinar that is going to be delivered, one today in the afternoon and the other one on May 5th morning, is going to be about sales. So once we generate the leads, how to then work on those leads, you know, how to more or less at the end close the deals. So that's the plan for the business sessions. Of course, there are also some there are also technical sessions that are kind of delivered in parallel to that. And we have also kind of the series of six webinars that are delivered by my colleague Mihai. And today is going to be, the idea is to kind of have those sessions following my set, I mean following the sessions on business. So we have 1 hour of on the business, you know, we have 1 hour on the technical bits and bytes. So if you're interested into that, Then of course, I mean, also join, the sessions that my colleague Mihai is delivering, and I think that he's doing, I mean, I believe that he's doing a great job. Okay, so enough about the overall program. And once again, for those of you who are, because there are usually several questions about the content, the recording. So yes, the recordings are going to be provided to you. I mean, you can actually access them just by clicking the registration link of each and every session. And then the event organizers are also going to share the PDF copy of today's deck, or they were also sharing the PDF copies of the previous decks with you. So all the content is going to be shared with you. So what is the agenda for the following 45 minutes? I want to do a very quick recap of our previous webinar, because our previous webinar was about target clients, about the customer segmentation or the market segmentation, the customer profiling, which is kind of a tightly connected to with the topic that we have today. But then we want to spend most of the time on the lead generation, so how to generate the interest, and the power of inbound, how, I mean, more or less how to differentiate with some of the marketing activities. And then in the end, we also want to spend a few minutes on what is next. So what is our upcoming webinar going to be about? So that's more or less the idea for today. Now, before I jump into the core content, I just want to conduct two very quick surveys, or I have two poll questions for you. I mean, for those of you who are kind of returning visitors or attendees, this is going to be a bit frustrating because we are kind of asking this question each and every time. But we usually have like more than half of first-time participants, so we need to do that in order to kind of better understand who are the people that are actually attending our webinars, and then of course at the end better align the content also to them. So tell us a bit more about your company. Are you a company that is developing packet software to for resale to customers, or are you a company that is primarily developing tailor-made software for customers? You might be just developing the set software for your internal usage, or are you not developing any software and you just kind of joined the webinar because the topic kind of sounds interesting? That's also an option. And please just provide us with this input. It's kind of important for us to kind of better customize and tailor our upcoming sessions. And let me also, I'm just going to wait for a few seconds, and then I'm also going to share the results with you, so you more or less know also who are your peers on this webinar today. Okay, so we have a pretty interesting mix, So we have the majority of the people are actually developing packet software. Then some of you are also developing tailor-made software for customers, so more like a customized software. And some or we have no people that are just developing the software for internal usage, but we also have quite a lot of people that are not developing any software. So it's quite interesting, to kind of to see that. Now my next question is about, so it's more kind of related to those of you who are developing the software. Is about to whether you are considering to start using the cloud or not. So in a way, the options, yes, of course, we are already using it. Or if you are not using it, you plan to do it in the next 6 months, or could be later in the next 6 months, or at the end, you might have, I mean, you could also have no plans of using it, and that's the fourth option. So I'm just going to wait for a few seconds to kind of better understand this one. Okay, and I also want to share the results with you. Okay, so we have most of the people are saying that they're already using it, and we have a little bit less than half of the people saying that they plan to do it within the next 6 months. Great. So thank you very much once again for this input. It's kind of it's something that it's, once again, it's important for us, to better kind of customize our upcoming sessions. Okay, so let's just do a very quick recap of our previous session, and I don't want to spend more than 3 minutes on that. So previously, we were talking a lot about the buying behaviors. We were talking a lot about how are people buying cloud services, who are the first buyers, what are the characteristics of those peoples. Nevertheless, we kind of started with, okay, in order to kind of better understand how are people buying cloud services, we need to understand what are the changes between buying behaviors 10, 15 years ago and the buying behaviors today. And we kind of realized that in the past, people were primarily buying things based, on what all those big authorities that are out there in the market were instructing them. So, like when Gartner and IDC and Forrester, even Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, all those big companies and vendors were speaking about the new stuff, then people kind of followed, and people followed, and they kind of followed the ideas, they kind of followed the directions. Now, we said today's buyers are much different. First of all, they have all the information they need to make an educated decision. They have all this information, I mean, around them, which was not the case 15 years ago. So they can just go online and they can check stuff. They're also kind of exchanging much more information with their peers as they were doing that in the past, because now they have all the platforms for that. So the buying behaviors have changed, and the most important conclusion was that people spend a lot of time on educating themselves about the options, about different providers before they kind of consider a new purchase. So that was kind of the main conclusion. And then we said, you know what? In a way, we need to also understand that there are different types of customers out there that are actually buying cloud services at a different point in time. So we said we have enthusiasts and visionaries that have a slight preference for cloud, and they're the ones that are buying first. Then we have pragmatic clients and conservatives that are kind of still waiting, that are still kind of pulled back a bit. They have a preference for on-premises, a format of the IT delivery, and they are going to do it if it really, really provides them a huge business justification, or like the benefits are just so big, that they cannot consider anything else. So in a way, if we want to be efficient with our sales and marketing activities, then we need to start, I mean, when we start reaching out to the clients, to the market, then we need to start with the first two groups. And we also said that by the stats that are out there in the market, by the stats that are more or less kind of showing, the cloud services market or business penetration, we said, okay, this is the window of opportunity. So these are the people that are actually willing to discuss cloud today. And at the end of the day, these are the people with the numbers that all these big guys such as Gartner, IDC, and Forrester are providing for Central and Eastern Europe. These are the guys that are actually willing to buy. So it's roughly from 15 to 25% of the overall market, depending on the data you take, because Gartner has a bit different view on what the public cloud is, then Forrester and so on, but it's from 15 to 25%, but it's definitely not the mainstream. And at the end, we also kind of said, okay, because this is where we also want to start today's discussion about marketing. That's why I'm basically spending a bit more time on that. So we said, in a way, to really kind of start with the people that are willing to discuss cloud services today, regardless whether they're part of our existing client base or some potential or new clients, let's try to kind of build a profile of an ideal cloud services client. Let's build a profile that kind of includes characteristics about the company that are pro cloud and characteristics about the people in that company or people that are behind the steering wheel in that company that are kind of pro cloud. So we said, okay, firmographic profile, that's quite clear. But then psychographic criteria of the business decision makers, that's very important because at the end of the day, people are the one that would sign the check. So we want people that are more risk takers, challengers, extrovert, optimists, open-minded, not the control freaks. So these are the people we want to address first. And then, of course, also companies, that are more like digital savvy companies that are more that are investing a bit more in their digital identities, also in their face, no, so not Facebook, but their social media identities, website. So companies that are a bit more trendy. So that's and also, for example, companies that are outsourcing a lot, because if they're already outsourcing accounting, they're passing their most valuable data into third-party hands, then they will not have a lot of problems with cloud. Okay, so that was more or less about our previous webinar. So if you're interested in more, feel free to check the recording, feel free to check the deck that was shared by the event organizers. And now let's spend the following 30-35 minutes on our core two topics, which are about how to generate the interest. Now, speaking about that, I have my third poll question, which is much more based on today's content or related to today's content. And I'm kind of interested about how many leads does your marketing team generate directly? So today, of course, versus your account management team. So very simply, I'm kind of interested into how efficient or how good is your marketing today. So how many leads are actually coming directly from marketing versus sales? So when people go for a meeting with the client and come back with the lead. So is it less than 25%? Is it 25 to 50%, 50 to 75%, or is it more than 75%? So that are the options. So how many leads does your marketing team generate directly, or your marketing person, or your marketing agency, if you don't have a team, if you don't have your, I mean, anybody in the company that is dealing with my marketing? And I'm curious about the results. Okay, we have most of the people responded. It's less than 25%, which is quite, it's kind of somehow expected. Usually, I mean, people that work in IT, or I would say all of us that work in IT, historically looking, we are not that satisfied with the input, the overall input that we are getting from our marketing. And I would say that there are some reasons for that. Part of it is also, I mean, it kind of has a root cause in how we actually position marketing in our organizations. Because if you ask me, like when I was still working with or selling with Microsoft, my perception of marketing was that it's more a logistics service. I want to kind of organize an event because I had, say, the clients I was working with. So I kind of perceived marketing as a logistics service to say, okay, guys, I need to kind of run an event. It has to be on 25th of May, and there, I mean, of course, nice catering has to be there, those three speakers, and it should be like a one day event. It should finish 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's it. I mean, and that was my perception of what marketing should actually do. I mean, which at the end is not what marketing should be doing. That's what the logistics service should be doing, not marketing. Now, I just want to comment on these results because I had a similar webinar 3 days ago for the partners from Canada. So for the ISVs from Canada, I was kind of surprised that the results were kind of that. Basically, 75% of them said, or a little bit less than 75% of them, but it was kind of similar proportion, that their marketing teams would generate 50 to 75% of all the leads that kind of come into the company. So, and we also had a bit of a discussion with some of those guys there. They kind of, I think that they already went through what we are about to discuss today. And once again, thank you very much for your input. Now, in a way, what we'll need to kind of understand, and to some extent also realize is that the marketing for, I mean, the marketing is first and foremost becoming increasingly important for what we are also discussing, I mean, within this program. So it's cloud, it's kind of promoting something new. It's becoming increasingly important because we are actually doing something that is not just about promoting some upgrades in a product or updates or new versions of a product that is well known to the market. We actually need to do a lot of education because we are now delivering something that kind of follows a different business model. It also kind of follows a different format of the IT delivery. So there is not a lot of, I mean, there is not a lot of understanding out there in the market. There is also lack of trust. So that means, that we will need to spend much more time, we will need to spend much more effort on educating the market on how this new thing is. And I'm not saying that people are not aware of cloud services. I'm just saying that there are some details that are still, I mean, details. There are some details, there are some areas that are still bothering them a lot with respect to compliance, privacy, security. Data management, all these things are something that are actually kind of blocking this business development. The second thing is, that even the business model is new, as mentioned before. So we'll need to kind of spend much more time, not just on promoting, but primarily on educating the market. And in a way, if we take a look on some of the market drivers, how are people, because that's the result, the reason, because I mean, why I spent a bit more time before on recapping the customer profiling part, because I want to link it with this one. So how is the buying behavior different? First of all, what we see today that we have much smarter and much more educated buyers. And I kind of mentioned during our previous webinar said, okay, just try to reflect to how are you buying things today? Let's presume that you want to buy a new bike, or with the weather today, let's say new skis. I mean, most of the people would actually go online. They would check the options, and then, of course, some would transact online. Some would still go into the store. But the point is, you know, that when you go into the store and you have a discussion with the sales rep in the store, you know much more about those keys than the sales rep, because you educated yourself beforehand. You went online, you checked the options, you checked what is important today when you're buying new skis. Of course, internet is being used as the information source. So in a way, there is a huge need for companies to build relationship with unknown buyers. Because when I went online to check what is important today when you're buying new skis and what are the options, who's offering what, I mean, I don't have any relationship with actually all those retailers that are promoting that on their website. So, but then of course, if I'm a smart retailer, I'll try to kind of build the relationship through the education that I'm offering to the client, to potential client through my website. So in a way, the main message here is that the marketing first and foremost is becoming increasingly important. The second thing is that the marketing today should serve much more to educational purposes than just promotion. And if we take a look on how that looked in the past, you know, and what we are seeing today, that I mean, in the past, the perception, this legacy perception, was very much about, okay, marketing is there to generate some awareness, marketing is there to generate some interest, and then we good guys from sales are going to take over, and then we're going to handhold the client through consideration, intent, evaluation, and purchase stage. Now, today's clients, you know, they want to educate themselves before they start an interaction with the sales rep, before they go into the store, before they have an interaction with us, you know, when we are popping into their office. So today's clients are actually saying that they do not want to interact with the sales reps before they're already in a 57% of the sales process. So all this part before 57% process is kind of a no-touch area. The client does not prefer to speak with us. So that's not client's preference. Now, in a way, this period is very important because this is a period where a perception is being built, a perception a bit about who's offering what the solution could actually do for my company. And to some extent, you kind of start building a perception of value. So pricing, all this is like, okay, is the price too high or too low? So that's more or less what you would, as a buyer, kind of go through before 57%. Now, in order to kind of influence the client's perception with the fact that they do not want to have a direct interaction with us, the only way to do that is through marketing. The only way to do that is through educational marketing. So that's what I'm saying, you know, the marketing is becoming increasingly important. And in a way, there are like two focus areas we could have as a company. So if we are primarily harvesting or farming on our existing customer base, then the whole marketing, this new marketing or modern marketing, this discussion is not that difficult because we already have a relationship with those, let's say, clients or potential clients for some new services. So it's very much about add-on, it's very much about converting them. However, if we really want to grow this business today, and we don't want to kind of focus too much just on our existing customer because of the cannibalization issue and so on, then we'll definitely have to look into the other focus area, which is about the new customers. So how can we actually acquire some new customers? Okay, I'd say the simplest and let's say one of the most welcome ways of doing that is through vendor referrals. So when we have vendors around us that are kind of providing us with several leads. So this is, I would say, a sweet spot, but it's very hard to control it first and foremost. And second, you know, I mean, you have a full dependency on all the vendors, you know, that they're going to do this till the end of our lives, which they won't. The second option is a customer referral. So when you have super satisfied clients and they would refer you to all of their peers. And that's also an option, you know. I mean, we were working with a company that said each of our clients would actually refer us on average, because they're measuring that, to seven other clients. That means that they're really super satisfied with the service that they're getting. And then the fourth option, which is the most common option, is direct. So basically, nobody's helping you. You have to do it on your own. And we are going to discuss this option from here on. So how could we actually attract or acquire the new clients through a direct approach? So there are two options of doing that. Kind of a bit more traditional option, and I would say more like innovative or the new. I mean, the option that is kind of popping up. So the traditional one is about traditional sales and marketing, where we usually do not spend a lot of time on customer profiling or targeting. We have a list of potential, I mean, let's say 5,000 potential clients. We just kind of shoot a direct email to those clients, and then we hope that some people are actually going to kind of catch it, you know, open it, and then we more or less start a discussion with the ones that are interested. So basically, the approach is kind of, it worked well in the past. It does not work that well anymore because conversion rates are exponentially dropping. But the idea is like, okay, let's try to address the masses, or let's try to address some people that we have in our customer base without any profiling. Let's send them pretty much a generic message about a certain topic. And I mean, then, you know, when we get a response, then the sales guys would take over, you know, and then they kind of spend their time, you know, on more or less hand-holding the client to the contract signature. Now, this approach, once again, is still the dominant approach of doing marketing. It's quite costly because, in a way, you see that most of the process is being handled by the sales guys. So it's human. It's something that is quite expensive. There is no automation in that. And in a way, you know, the main challenge is that the conversion rates are dropping. So less and less people are visiting events, less and less people are responding to direct emails, less and less people are kind of responding to telesales. So the other approach that is something that kind of started a few years ago. Of course, it was a huge movement in States. Now it's also coming into Western Europe, Eastern Europe. It's about so-called lean sales and marketing engine or approach, which is very much about, okay, let's spend much more time on figuring out who are the right targets. Let's build so-called buyer personas. Then let's kind of establish an environment that is much more in a pull mode, that includes a lot of customer education. So, and of course, when we start educating those clients, it also includes like a very smart qualifying of the clients, and then pass only those leads or those opportunities that are already well qualified to the sales guys, making sure that we are really efficiently spending their time. So we still have a direct sales approach, but the time that is being spent by the sales reps on the overall approach should be much less as today on a client basis, of course. So sales reps should actually get well-qualified opportunities with such approach. And this, let me just kind of try to give you a perspective like of those two different ways of doing marketing. Now, traditional outbound marketing is very much about push. It's like pushing the message, to some extent interrupting the clients or potential clients, and then we hopefully catch their response if they're interested. Like, because when we call somebody on his or her phone, we actually interrupt the client. When we send a direct email, to some extent, we also interrupt them because they did not ask for it. Now, the analogy would be just to kind of explain it in a simpler way. Let's assume that we are all sitting in a room together, and I kind of take like I have a handful of balls, and I throw those balls in the room. So that would be the approach of traditional outbound marketing. And then, of course, some people would catch the ball, some people would just not care, so many balls would actually fall on the ground, on the floor. Now, the online or the inbound marketing is opposite. It's not that much about push, it's very much about pull. So let's go back to the same story. We are all sitting in the room, I'm standing in front of you, I have my hand full of balls. Now, I will not throw that into the room. I just kind of wrap it up with the very nice packaging. I support that with the very nice message, very appealing message. So I believe that some of you, because of the appealing message and wrapping, would actually stand up and take the ball from my hand. So inbound or online is much more about pull. It's first and foremost about establishing the environment so that people can pull when they are ready or interested to pull. And it's very much about educating. And I'll give you some examples later on. How does that look in, I mean, I'll also show you some example. How does that look in real life? So what would be my next step then? So after you kind of pick the ball from my hand, I would approach you and I would start a discussion with you. So I'll start kind of nurturing the relationship. And then in both cases, you know, we would qualify the leads after. So this is something like this two ways of doing marketing. This is basically not, I mean, it has nothing to do with the cloud transformation. It's actually about the transformation that the marketing industry is going through. So that's very, because the pull mode, the inbound mode, you know, it kind of much better aligned to clients' preferences or expectations or today's buying behaviors. Because let me just give you an idea. Let's assume that you're a very traditional company. You don't care about digital. You don't care about inbound, online, whatever. And you are still just, I mean, our business is being developed by one-on-one meetings with the clients. Makes sense. And this is still the dominant way of generating leads and doing the business. Now, what do you think will happen when you, for example, go for a meeting with a client? You have, I don't know, 45-minute discussion with the client. You excite them about some topics. They said, you know what, this sounds kind of interesting. However, we need to have, some discussions internally here with our team in order, and we'll come back to you when we'll be ready to kind of discuss more. So then you leave the office. What do you think is going to happen afterwards? And there are two options. A, they kind of think it through. They see that it's a great idea. They're so excited. They call you immediately in 3 hours. Option B, after you leave, they go to your website and they check it for more details. And I can assure you that in 99% is going to be option B. Why is that? Because they know that if they express an interest, if they express a strong interest when they have a discussion with you, you will going to choke them, and you're going to kind of, you will not leave them alone for 2 weeks, which is what we in sales do. Then we start bothering them full time. Now, they even don't want to ask all the questions they want to ask, because they know that if they ask too many questions, they express a strong interest. Now, they expect that when they go to your website, they are going to find for some of the answers. Even more, they will not check just your website. They're also going to check what competitors are doing. So your competitors are doing. Even when you have an event for a client, you excite them about the ideas, you excite them about the solutions that you have. What do you think is going to happen after people leave the event and they go back to their offices? I can assure you that most of you are going to check you online. And they're going to not just check you, but they're going to online and they're going to explore the topic that they liked. So they're going to educate themselves. So that's something, you know, that is, I mean, it's about how we people buy things today. We want to kind of educate ourselves first. And today we have all information and basically the environment for doing that available, because you just go online and you check it. There's just so much information out there that you can more or less check everything. So that's the main thing. So, and it's not or between those two options. It's more or less and, because most of the leads are still generated in a traditional way. But if you want to differentiate, if you want to kind of do a bit better job than your competitors, if you want to do a better job with the clients, kind of come closer to their expectations, then you need to kind of start updating this traditional way of doing marketing with some of the new channels that are popping up or some new approaches or concepts. So all these things in like, okay, we do traditional marketing. Yes, it's about telesales, conferences, public relations, direct mail, events, print advertising, ads. All of this is still relevant. However, we have to understand that conversion rates are dropping exponentially. I even usually say when we have on-site events or when we have a direct discussion with the company such as you are, I say, okay, guys, you are saying that you're doing a lot of direct emails, you're doing a lot of tailor sales, but tell me something, when was the last time that you bought something after somebody sent you a direct email or after somebody called you on the phone? I mean, it's not that people would say never, never, you know, it's like, I would say 10% of the people would still say, yes, like half a year ago, I bought kind of a trip, you know, because it was kind of 40% off and I got that over an email. So yes, it still works to some extent, but it's losing attention. So basically it's losing traction. Okay, so that was like, it's very much about finding the right balance. That's the main thing. Now, in order to kind of understand why we want to discuss more about inbound, I want to kind of first provide you with the main challenges of the outbound campaigns. So first and foremost, the main challenge that traditional marketers have is about how to cope with rejections from potential clients. So what are rejections? For example, we have a list of 1,000 clients, potential clients. We want to kind of call all of them and check the interest for one of our services. We do that. We realize that only 200 responded, and out of those 200, only 20 expressed interest. Wow, just 2%. It was like 7 or 8 5 years ago. So traditional marketers are, of course, not happy with that. 2% is too low. I mean, it does not justify the investment. It does not justify the cost of such lead generation engine. So what should we do? Now, traditional marketers, to some extent, also, I mean, they are to some extent a bit, I mean, they're influenced with the statistic, which is good. You know, that's also part of marketing. But they say, okay, why wouldn't we call them again? If only 200 responded, let's call them again. However, the problem is that majority didn't respond because they just do not like to be bothered that way. And let me give you a very simple example. Let's just assume that somebody right now is calling you on your phone and they have like 40% off on all bikes or all sport equipment. And since the kind of the summer is coming, you know, you want to buy, let's say, a new bike. And you're thinking about that bike, you know, for the last 2 weeks. Now, there's a person calling you right now on your phone. You're on a webinar, so, I mean, nobody will see if you kind of respond. I mean, if you take that call. So you take that call. The person, of course, has a playbook. You're like, okay, he or she needs to introduce himself or herself. So, and immediately when he or she starts, like, you know, I'm calling you from this and this retailer. So, okay, wait, stop, stop. I mean, I don't have time to discuss right now. I'm not interested into whatever you're selling. So just leave me alone. Which at the end of the day, it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, you want to buy a bike. They have 40% off on all the bikes today. So it's a lose-lose situation. Just because the channel is not appropriate anymore. Now, of course, this story continues. So what is going to happen after you kind of finish with this webinar, you do some work at the office, you visit some clients, and then you go back home. Now, at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, say, okay, I really need to buy that bike. So I'll just go online and I want to do a bit of a research. I want to check, you know, what's important today when you're buying a new bike, you know, who's offering what, are there any retailers that are offering any discounts. Now we have 1 hour of your full attention. So we need to take advantage of that window of opportunity. If we are a good, I mean, if you really want to position our products and services, we need to take advantage of that window of opportunity. So basically, since the client is now educating himself or herself about the options, we want to be one of the sources of his education, because that is going to build credibility in client's eyes about our service. And it's going to also build a certain perception. So that's more or less what we want to do. And it's very hard to do that with traditional marketing. The second, I would say, challenge is also most of the campaigns we do as part of traditional marketing have expiry dates. So basically, you run an event, is this day, people who showed there heard the message, people who were not there, I mean, they didn't. You know, they're kind of, I mean, they're more or less, to some extent, lost for this campaign. You put an ad, you know, again, ad has an expiry date. So, and the third, you know, challenge is about, I mean, it's very hard to target. It's very hard to kind of say, okay, when we are sending a direct email out, we know that this person has such preference, we know that this person had such preference, because what we're usually doing, we just send like pretty much the same message or several messages, and we hope that people will go through all of that and pick the one that they like, which is not the case in many cases. So we want to do a bit better job, and that's why, you know, we want to spend following 20 or 15 to 20 minutes on the inbound. So how to do, I mean, what's the power of inbound in the digital age? Now, you know, I mean, before we jump into the content, I have my second, or say third poll question, which is about which marketing tactics do you predominantly use today? So is it very much, as I'm speaking about predominantly, outbound? So it's like one-on-one visits, which generate some leads, events, telesales, print ads, mailings, etc. Or do you also do inbound, like which is about marketing automation, educational content, blogs, social lead capture forms? So if you're just doing a bit of a search engine optimization or you have a Facebook profile, that does not mean that you're doing inbound. Inbound means that you're more or less using all those channels that are listed, I mean, all those companies that are listed here in a kind of interrelated way. So you could also do both. That's also an option. So please provide me with your answer. I'll just wait for a few more seconds, and then I want to share the results with you. And by the way, if there are any questions or comments, feel free to post that on the chat window, and I'll respond to that at the end of the section. Okay, let me just share the results with you. Okay, so we see that most of the people are still doing the outbound only. We have some people that are also doing the inbound part, and we also have part of people that are doing both. That's, I would say, it's a very interesting result. Since I was mentioning the session I had a few years ago with ISVs in Canada, majority of them were still mentioning the outbound. So it's kind of here the situation is a bit different. So they're obviously not working that hard, or they're not forced to work that hard to generate the leads. Anyway, like some of the reasons about why do we need to consider this inbound option as something for the short-term future. 9 out of 10 business buyers say that when they are ready to buy, they will find you. So kind of a don't bother us. When we'll be interested into something, we'll come to you. We'll find you. Now, these are business buyers, not consumers. 93% of them start the process with a web search. So they're not transacting online. I'm not saying that they're transacting online. They just start the process. So they basically start by educating themselves. The number from last year was actually 81%. So this is increasing. 78 are looking for information around their business challenge. So when they're searching the web, they will not be searching for cloud-based BI or cloud-based CRM. They have different challenges that they're entering. So make sure that your SEO is properly set. 84% of them, they said that word of mouth recommendations influence their purchase decision. This is not that new. This is quite expected. And now the last one, that is more about the social media. 58% engage with peers, 48% follow industry conversations, and 41% read research papers and postings from thought leaders, which is something that, I mean, that's the power of social, how to kind of interact, how to more or less interact with the client, not just kind of share some documents, but how to interact. Now, this is the formal definition of inbound marketing. It's kind of shortened a bit. But instead of going through all those sentences, I just want to kind of explain it on a very simple to understand example. So what's the inbound? Inbound is like, it's very much about how to bring as many people from different sources, of course, relevant people from different sources to our webpage. So to kind of get found. Then, to some extent, provide highly relevant content to those people in order to kind of start generating the interest on their site. And when I speak about highly valuable content, this is usually not a feature description of your solution. It might be about the challenges of their industry. So you kind of show that you understand their point of view, that you understand their challenges. Now, once we kind of then, of course, bring them to our webpage, Then we want to convert them from kind of anonymous visitors first into known visitors, then from known visitors to leads and from our opportunities, and then from opportunity to a qualified opportunity or qualified leads. So that's the idea. And we are doing, of course, that through different levels of content, flows, lead capture endpoints. There are different techniques for doing that. Some of them are going to be mentioned in the next 5 minutes. But eventually, when we kind of, going through all those techniques, when we bring it to the point that we have somebody that expressed the interest for several pieces of content or several pieces of valuable information on our web page, then we start treating such visitor as a qualified opportunity, and then we would pass it on to sales. So then the sales takes over and starts one-on-one interaction. So the idea here is how to more or less, first of all, filter fake interest from the real interest, how to generate the traffic to our site, how to then through different pieces of content convert people, from anonymous visitors into qualified opportunities, and then pass it to kind of humans. Because the first part should be as automated as possible. And even with automation, we can achieve a high level of personalization. So the idea is not to say now the machines are going to start selling instead of our sales reps. The idea here is how to make sure that we are really passing to the sales reps leads that are already qualified. Because you probably, since most of you have an experience from IT market and to some extent also from selling IT services, you probably know that like there are 80% of the people that you are addressing at sales that are interested into everything, but at the end they don't buy anything. I used to call those people professors because they were interested into everything. And this kind of consumed a lot of my time, and it's usually consuming a lot of sales reps' time because if you have just this one-on-one interaction, but at the end they never buy. So of course, the idea is, how to more or less, of course, still address them, with some relevant content, but through an automated way, but then spend kind of a sales reps' time only with the ones that really have an interest and they want to improve some stuff on their side. They want to implement something, So that's good, because even from the client perspective, that means, that the client is going to get much, I would say, better assistance and service, from the sales rep and also the people that kind of follow in that sales process. And of course, at the end, we want to analyze. At the end, we want to analyze, which pieces of content work well for our target clients, what needs to be changed, how successful are we with our marketing efforts. So that's more or less the idea of inbound. So it's kind of establishing an environment that will allow clients to educate when they're ready, when they're interested into educating about something new, but then also kind of through a marketing automation to some extent, filter, the real interest, from, I wouldn't say fake interest, but the interest is just an interest with no intention to buy. So what are the elements? Okay, search engine optimization, this is old, but it's part of it. Dynamic content marketing, basically meaning that we need to kind of do a better job with the content because if people are seeing pretty much the same content for 3, 6 months on our web page, they will not return. Why what's the reason of returning? So we need to do a better job here. Okay, social media marketing, I mentioned that for the client interaction. So for example, you kind of try to measure the sentiment of the clients, you kind of try to reach out to the people that are discussing about some of the topics. And there are already some automated tools that can actually that allow to kind of monitor some streams on Facebook channel, sorry, Facebook on social media channels. Marketing automation, I would say one of the key three areas. So how to automate things, how to automate content distribution, how to automate tracking, how to automate all these things in a personalized way. I mean there are tools, for a few tens of euros per month that include all of that. What I want to mention at this point is just one thing, ebook. Just to kind of give you a perspective of how digital marketers think. Like, what's the difference between an ebook and, for example, a PDF document? PDF document. I mean, content-wise, there is not a big difference. Of course, Ebook is much better designed. Ebook has some nice UX functionalities. So it's kind of a better experience for the clients. Now, why I'm asking that? Because ebook is an invention of inbound marketers. However, there is one major difference that in, I mean, and the difference is about how you can actually get an ebook, a proper ebook. Usually, you could get that only by leaving your email address. So, in a way, what's the deal here? We are going to provide you with something that has a much better reading experience, much better UX experience, than just a pure PDF. However, in order to get it, you need to leave us your email address because we will want to send this to your inbox. So it's kind of a give and get mentality. PDF, yes, of course, people say you just click, I mean, here it is, download it. So that's more or less the idea. Now let me just give you a very, very quickly, very simple example. So we have been working with the company. This company is actually coming from Poland, so it's from CE, and they're doing a great job in this respect. So what this company is doing, say, okay, when you land on their webpage, there are like three paragraphs of text. Of course, it's a very nice design and everything, but basically the text is about the challenges that this company's clients are facing on a daily basis. And then at the end, there's a nice read more button. So people that are triggered with the message, and the message is really good, it's really good, they would click that read more button. Now, the difference between traditional marketing and the inbound marketing. Traditional marketer would design it in a way that the pop-up window would open saying, do you want to download this white paper? Yes or no, yes, the download starts. The inbound marketer would say, you know what? What's in it for me? Why am I doing that? Why am I sharing this content that at the end, probably I invested a lot of time and money into getting it. Why would I actually share this for free? So what would be their approach? You click on the read more button. It's kind of the pop-up window open saying like, you know what? Thank you very much for your interest. We don't want you to bother with the download. So just please leave us your email address and we'll just send this directly to your inbox. So they kind of wrap it with a nice message, but they do it in a way that, of course, I mean, if you want this from us and we invest it into crafting this content, then we need kind of something also from your side. And that's kind of part of this process, converting anonymous visitor into a known visitor. So not to go too far with the, and well, I mean, just to kind of continue with this story, because I forgot to mention the last piece, which is kind of the most important. When you click on that read more button, when you leave your email address, you would immediately get one point in the backend system. Basically, this one point would say, you know what? There was somebody on our website that was interested in this and this content. So that's kind of showing the interest. Some people would always say, okay, this is a lead. Let's call them immediately. This company does not do it that way. So it's okay. They have one point, fine. Next time when a person returns to their website, let's say he or she checks the content, it's great, returns, they would track that. If you click once again on a different piece of content, which might be much more like to the point of what you're selling, then you get another point in the backend and they start treating you as the lead and then they would call you. So it's about scoring, it's about saying, okay, we don't want to just call everybody because this is going to take too much of your time. We want to call only the ones that express interest twice. So not to go too far with this one, I want to show you my first good practice example, which is actually about the company from I mean they started in Canada. Now they're also kind of, I would say, I mean they're expanding their presence also in other markets. And this company, why I actually picked this company, because it's nothing, I mean, it's nothing very exciting about their product. So their product is actually, they're an ISV. Their product is point of sale and ERP solutions for the restaurants. So, I mean, this is something that is on the market for the last 20 years, if not more. However, the way how they do that, it's very innovative, the way how they're actually reaching out to the clients. So basically, when you visit, and you can check their web page also, when you visit their web page, this is what you see. This is basically the resources page. And there is one piece of content that is kind of exposed, that is kind of featured. And this content is titled with Learn from the Best, Three Secrets to Increase Restaurant Sales. So it's not about ERP, it's not about point of sale, it's about three secrets to increase restaurant sales. And of course, if you're a restaurant owner or manager, I mean, this would trigger you. I mean, if you believe that you're running the most successful restaurant in the world, then you don't need to be triggered, but even this company is saying these are not the people we want to work with because we want to work with the ones that believe that there's still some room for improvement because then they might consider our solution. When you click on that content, when you click on this download now, of course you need to leave your email address to get this piece of content. What happens next is that you get an email. They kind of provide you this content over an email, you know, saying thank you very much for doing that. And then, I mean, they would not call you immediately. Now, when you go through that piece of content, what you see is like, it's a lot of valuable information about how to run a restaurant. Like, okay, how to manage stock, how to manage inventory, how to manage payments, how to set up a restaurant place. What is the ratio between chefs and the waiters to kind of serve the peak hours. So at the end, this is providing some valuable information for the restaurant owners or managers. However, what's the most important part? The most important part is that at the end, they would say, you know what, if you want to kind of even, I mean, to kind of go even further, you know, beyond just those advices, and you want to automate some of the things that we were mentioning in the document, then we need to have a discussion. And now try to reflect to what I was saying before. Where do you manage stock? Where do you manage inventory? Where do you manage payments? It's in ERP. So they kind of indirectly expose the areas that are important, and they kind of link that with their solution. Now, if you don't express any further interest, they will not bother you at all. But next time when you return to their website, they would track that and they would send you an email like, okay, we saw that you kind of expressed some interest, you know, in this and this and this. Should we have a discussion? And this is not, of course, this is not the only document that they have on their webpage. They have more, you know, that are then, but the one that is featured is not about their solution. And then but then they also have some good practices of using their solution, kind of some statistics about how better are restaurants that are running their ERP and point of sale solution performing. So all these that then comes in the step number two. Now, this is the case of Vibonet. They are really doing an amazing job when it comes to lead generation. And they were forced into that because they started with traditional way of doing marketing, but it was just too expensive for them because then they were still relatively small. So they said, okay, we need to do something else that's not going to be that expensive and is going to allow us to have a better reach. Resdi, a pretty similar case, I mean, similar case, case from a different industry. This is a company that is actually targeting online booking, basically tour and activity providers with their online booking software. Pretty much the same story. They are providing tons of valuable content for tour operators and providers in terms of how to do better marketing, how to do better sales, how to target, what are the trends in the in a tour operator industry. And then, of course, they kind of relay that back to their service or their product. And that's the whole magic. This is what we want to do. I mean, when I speak about the content, this is the content we need to invest in. The content is going to attract, the content is going to educate. So not just about the content, about our solution, like, okay, one pager about what we are doing. One pager is good, but it has to be structured differently. Now, the last piece I want to share about those two companies, because we are not the best in IT at crafting such content. What these two companies are doing, not only them, but they actually hired copywriters to do that. So that's the main point. I mean, nobody's saying that we have to do it on our own. Let's find people that are skilled at writing some such content. Now, last two pieces I want to mention here. These are just some stats about how are successful cloud services providers investing into marketing. On average, now when I say successful, this is the upper quarter of the success. 10% of their gross revenue, where 50% is actually invested into attracting the clients, 35% in educating the client, and 15% on nurturing the relationship. Now, of course, if you take a look on these 50 and 35 percentage marks, both of them are related to content because content attracts the client, content educates a potential client. Now, there's, of course, always a question whether we should do this on our own, should we kind of recruit an agency for that? My advice would be very simple. If this is part of your core business, your e-store or something, then digital or inbound marketing, kind of bringing as much people on your website as possible, should be part of your core team. If you are a typical IT company, then start with an agency. It's going to provide, it's going to deliver results much faster. It's less risky. After a few months, if you don't like it, if it doesn't work, you can just get rid of them. If it works, then you can start adding some people over the time. But that's the main point, because it requires a lot of knowledge. This is a new area. It requires a lot of experimenting. So It usually kind of does not work the best if you just kind of bring somebody in the company and try to train this person first, and then he or she starts doing that. I would rather go with the agency. Now, speaking about that, just want to kind of, like in the last 2 minutes, I want to kind of post my last poll question, which is about kind of a quick test. So what is the biggest challenge? This is a test, whether you kind of learned, from what I was speaking about today. So what is the biggest challenge of traditional outbound marketing campaigns? There are three options. First, too expensive and takes a lot of time to prepare all the content. Second one, it's a poorly targeted way of doing it and very hard to find a way to cope with rejections from potential customers. The third one, it's hard to coordinate all the events and advertising since there are not that many tools to manage the marketing campaign as a project. So number one, two, three, what do you think is the biggest challenge of traditional marketing campaigns? I'm just going to wait here for 10 seconds because it's not, I mean, it's not, the answer is not that straightforward, but I'm curious about your learning from today. And let me also share the results. Okay, congratulations. So most of the people, I would say, clicked on the answer that is most appropriate. I'm not saying that the other two are not relevant, but the second one is the most appropriate. Yeah, it's poorly targeted, and it's very hard to find a way to cope with the rejections from potential clients. Thank you very much for that. Now I just want to wrap it up with my last slide, which is about kind of it's more or less from us towards you. So in case you're interested into marketing assessment. So how do we do that? And we have only four slots for participants of this program. When we fill those four slots, we don't do it for free anymore. So we actually conduct a 45-minute call with you. We have a list of questions we go through just to kind of see how you're doing things today with respect to marketing. Then we would also make some assessments on our side in terms of market research, benchmarking you with some competitors or similar companies. And then we would come back to you in 2 weeks' time with some recommendations and also debrief that for you over a 30-minute call. So it's free of charge. We have four slots only. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. Send me an email. You have my full contact here if you're interested into that. And we're going to set up a call, a slot, for the initial call and discuss it. Now, I want to stop here. What is our upcoming webinar about? I'm just going to show you one slide out of three that I prepared for that, but we are running out of time. So what we are going to discuss during our next webinar, we are going to discuss sales, since we should now better understand how to target the right clients, how to generate the interest. Now it's about how to then sell. So when the qualified lead is provided to our sales reps, how they should actually, what's the process, how we should align the process, talking points, how to handle objections. All those nice things, that are important when we are having such discussions with the clients. So this is going to be delivered the first session today in the afternoon. Okay, sorry, this is what I want to show to you. The first session today in the afternoon. The other session is going to be on May 5th, 10:30 in the morning. And this also brings me to my last poll question, which is more about how do you rate the content of today's webinar? Five if you are super satisfied. One if you are very disappointed. Please provide that this input is also important for us and for the program organizers to kind of see whether you appreciate the insights that we are sharing with you. In case there are any questions, comments, feel free to post that on a chat window, and I'll respond to that immediately. Once again, all the content is going to be shared with you, in terms of I mean in the format of the recording of this session and PDF copy of the deck. And I'm going to switch to my next survey question, which is about how do you rate me as a speaker? The pace, the tone, the style, how I perform, I mean, how am I delivering those webinars? Five, if you're very satisfied. One, if you're very dissatisfied. That's also important for us. And just to kind of go back, so the PDF copy of the deck is going to be provided to you. The recording of today's webinar session, you can actually access that just by clicking the registration link. And I want to stop here with showing the last contact slide, which is about, I mean, the contact. So feel free to reach out to me if you want to go through the marketing assessment. I'm the person on the left, David Balzik, once again. With that said, Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, for your attention, and I'm looking forward to meet you on one of our next webinars. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy the weather out there, and we'll be in touch soon. Goodbye.